This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on Friday, which means while you're at happy hour, we're talking Chiefs with Nate Taylor from here's C-Dot and Nate.
You do the impossible. Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton producing. Nate Taylor in the house. You might have heard Nate and I on Monday night, a little thing called The Nate Taylor Show, which will be coming your direction each and every Monday night following Mitch Holtus in the Kingdom right before Red Reaction with Dusty. But every Monday, we don't have one this Monday because it's a doubleheader with the Royals. But so Nate and I are making it up today. He's in here every 4 o'clock hour with C-Dot every Friday. But Nate and I will continue. And if you haven't checked out the Nate Taylor Show, go check it out. 610sports.com or the all-new Odyssey app. Nate, what you been working on, my man?
Well, the Chiefs are healthy, so I've sort of been working on that. There's some stuff down the road that I don't want to necessarily give away just yet.
You want to tease me?
But it's Mahomes related, you know.
Well, it's his birthday, you know.
It is his birthday today, 26.
You know, I brought it up just a second ago. I put up those great stats by McMullen over with the Chiefs about all the things he's accomplished. And we all know that he set the yards and touchdown record over Warner and Marino in game 47. Those guys took 50 last week. He's got an MVP. He's got a Super Bowl MVP. He's won a Super Bowl all before the age of 26, which he turned today. But I brought up the fact, listen, Nate, I mean, whether you're talking to your mom, your dad, your grandma, your cousin, your uncle, maybe they're not football fans, but they follow Patrick Mahomes and Brittany and what he's up to. Like, I think he makes people, I know he makes people in this town smile. And he's just 26. Celebrate the damn day.
Yeah, and the idea, too, that you're still going to continue to see greatness from him beyond just this season. One thing I've tried to remind myself, even as I'm watching these comebacks, and as we mentioned on Monday night, okay, I've seen this before, but he's going to continue to get better. Yeah. Like, it's mind-boggling, honestly, to say, okay, not only should I remind Chiefs fans that they have the best quarterback in the sport right now, but the best quarterback in the sport hasn't reached his full capabilities yet. We're just seeing this new offensive line with him. Yes, he has Tyreek Hill. Yes, he has Travis Kelce. But there are other notable skill position players that the Chiefs can go to when forced based on what an opponent shows them. And in terms of the community, what he's done in terms of the outreach with, you know, his 15 and the Mahomes Foundation, he and Brittany really investing into other sports entities.
They
in
bought
town.
Basically every damn team in town, a percentage of it, or his wife, or his fiance Brittany has, or Whataburger coming down. What else can he get, man? Seriously, you know he's bringing an NBA or NHL team here.
I don't want to criticize them, but if I was running the Kansas Speedway, how can I get the Mahomes family to come out?
You know, I was out there his first day a couple years ago. He was out there.
He was wearing the T-Bones jersey. I mean, anytime there's a race, can you come on by?
Well, Beach is a huge race fan, you know.
I know. I mean, you know, Patrick enjoys any competition, which I think is another thing that you can really admire about him. Someone most recently told me that Patrick Mahomes watches cornhole competitions. So, it doesn't matter what's on.
What the hell else was on TV last year? You remember that? When everything shut down.
Oh, I know.
A lot of cornhole on ESPN.
And look, I mean, Patrick is very relatable, but the greatest quarterback in the league right now. It's a rare combination. And for people in Kansas City who want to celebrate his excellence and everything that he's mentioned and mattered to the city, it makes perfect sense. But, I mean, a lot of times I try to tell fans, like, he is very similar. He's just probably way more mature than you were at your age, at the time. And he can just throw a football better than any other human being on the planet. You guys are completely the same. Just also, there's some stark differences.
All right, if you think Nate and I are bloviating a lot about the quarterback, here's the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, Wink Martindale. Since it's Patrick's birthday, here's Wink Martindale and Patrick Mahomes.
Best way to put it with Patrick Mahomes is whoever your favorite quarterback is and whoever is sitting there having a conversation with you and saying, this is my all-time favorite quarterback and this is why, he's always in that conversation. So that's where I see him at, and, you know, I think he's one of the best there is.
All right. That's from the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. He didn't have to say that stuff. He just said, hey, he's a great quarterback. They're a good football team. Andy Reid with him is great. But he wouldn't compare Reid Mahomes to Walsh in Montana. I mean, that's greatness. I mean, it's offensive greatness, and it's top tier between those two. When he threw that out there, Wink was just on a roll, man, which leads me to think he's thinking about him every night when he goes to sleep. He's thinking about,
how do I defend this?
How do I defend? But is Patrick Mahomes down in that discussion? When we're sitting there at the bar talking about Elway, and obviously Brady's going to sit out there because of the hardware he possesses. But does he belong in that conversation?
Yes. It was in Miami on the night of the Chiefs winning Super Bowl 54 where I told other of my peers in the media corps, even someone as, you know, respected and admired and as lofty as Peter King. And I just told Peter King straight up, the dude's in the Hall of Fame already. He's only been playing in this league 3 seasons at the time.
What'd Peter say to you?
You can't disagree. No one has a faster track to Canton at the quarterback position than Patrick Mahomes. He threw 50 touchdowns in his first season as a starter. His second season as a starter, he did one of the most remarkable plays I've ever seen live, which is the run against the Tennessee Titans, which ineffectively ended that game, essentially, before halftime, where they chased down the Titans. He orchestrates one of the most remarkable comebacks in Super Bowl history in a matter of minutes. Not hours, ladies and gentlemen, minutes. And led the team to a second straight Super Bowl and played one of his most impressive performances in a game where nothing was working outside of the framework of what he normally is accustomed to. So, you know, I agree with Wink. He's a very smart defensive coordinator because he wants to make it so that the defense always gives pressure, make the quarterback feel, I have to make a decision sooner than I want. But that doesn't even matter with Patrick Mahomes. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time against the blitz. I mean, just, you know, the guy is already a Hall of Famer. And you rarely say that about somebody entering their fifth NFL season.
123.5 quarterback rating against the blitz in his career. Highest mark in the NFL since 2018. It's from McMullen over to the Chiefs. 29 touchdowns, just one pick. Versus the blitz in his career. Obviously, Baltimore last year, 44% blitz rate. They're very similar with the Chiefs. They were getting to the quarterback, but not bringing him down. They were knocking the quarterback down, but not with the ball in his hand. They had 39 sacks, Chiefs 32. Very similar. I think the Chiefs were fifth in quarterback knockdowns. They were second. Very similar to that. Mm. So Wink Martindale was asked about this. You know, I'll set this up for you, and you can give me your answer, Nate, after the break. But this is when Wink Martindale was asked about the balance between doing what they do and maybe breaking away from what they do. Tell me if you don't think that Reed's in his head.
You know, I think Sunday night will be a good timing for that, you know. So I think Andy's – he knows how much we pressure, and you know, it's going to be a fun chess match.
All right, that was interesting. It's going to be fun. He knows how much we pressure, so we'll take a timeout. Nate, we come back though. I want to know, in your opinion, do you dance with what brought you? They don't have corners. They're going to need blitz. They're going to dial it up against Mahomes. That's what they do. It's what they do well. Or are they going to not go away from what they do best? Wes, Nate Taylor next.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT and Nate Taylor on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game.
That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton producing, Nate Taylor in studio as he is each and every 4 o'clock on Fridays with Carrington Harrison. And then, of course, he and I do the Nate Taylor Show on Mondays. A little bit different. All right. I just played the Winks asked. Defensive coordinator Ravens, you going to blitz like you always do? He says chess match, meaning he said already what Andy's going to do. Well, I don't know what Andy's going to do. Andy knows what he's going to do. Okay. We know that Westry, one of their corners, he's a third stringer, undrafted. He's 6'4", would have had some playing time. Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey probably play. They're listed as questionable this week. John Harbaugh didn't want to talk about injuries anymore, but unfortunately he has to do it because that's the rules. And then, well, he didn't have to do it, but the team has to put out the injury report.
Right.
Bottom line, do you dance what brought you, which is blitz? I think they were 8th in the league last week at blitzing, even though defensively they ended up last in the NFL with giving up 497 yards to the Raiders. Will they continue to do the bread and butter? Because without secondary help, blitzing might be their option, even though they know that's what the Chiefs know they're going to do.
I would tell the Baltimore Ravens it's time for a couple change-ups. Like, don't blitz Mahomes. Under no circumstances in the middle of the field on 3rd and 8, just don't do it. Don't do it. So here's my suggestion, Jay. And you also have to remember, too, now, because we do have the full injury report, Derek Wolf, the veteran defensive end, he's also out.
Yeah, he's
So you're
and that's a big one for him.
That's a big one. So they've got limitations at the defensive line. They've got limitations clearly in the back end of the secondary. I mean, it's not a great strategy most weeks, but I would say live with the 4. You know you're probably not going to get there. Mahomes will extend plays. I'll play 7, sometimes 8 defenders back. Don't let Tyreek Hill beat you deep. Okay, Travis Kelce might feast on some zone coverage, but the Ravens have to try to win this game, extending drives for the Chiefs and trying their best to be great in the red zone. Like, their red zone defense has to be excellent because you don't have to defend as much of the field. But I would say in the middle of the field, drop 8 and just live with the results. Make the Chiefs go 13-14 plays down the field. And then if you want to throw the occasional blitz in the red zone, that's fine. I wouldn't necessarily grimace about it a ton. But, Jay, they can't do what they did last year.
No.
They can't do what they did in 19. I mean, every time they've tried to give Mahomes an unscouted blitz, something that you haven't put on tape yet, that you worked on that week, to try to give a different feel, Mahomes either A, spots it because, you know, he's one of the smartest quarterbacks based on the level of experience and understanding Reed's system and where his outlets are on pressure. And then secondly, he extends plays as well as anybody, which is what Eric Bieniemy mentioned to us a few days ago. So don't do it, Wink. It's not worth it. It's not worth giving up 4-play drives where – everybody comes off the field on your defense frustrated because he knew we were blitzing. He beat us deep. And if it's not Tyreek Hill, you're viable to give up one-on-one opportunities to Mecole Hardman, and they don't have anybody to run with Mecole Hardman for step for step.
Here's the thing. If I'm them, this is how I'm looking at it. If you get to Mahomes, he's going to scramble, and he's going to do their worst fear. Their worst fear is something that Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator, and Harbaugh has mentioned in the past. Mahomes will turn it into a backyard football game.
Mm-hmm.
It's what he did against Cleveland, that 75-yard touchdown. Seriously, that's like throwing to your uncle in the backyard.
Yes, you're drawing just it go
up,
deep.
And he's 6'4", whatever, and you just know you throw the ball up. And he, I know Tyreek's not that tall, but he can high point the ball
yes.
better than anybody. But you just throw it, and you know he's going to get it. It's essentially what Mahomes did with Travis Kelce. Just like that 4th-and-9 play back in 2018.
18, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 2018, where he goes up 4th-and-9. That's the most frustrating thing. So if you go to Mahomes and you're pressuring him, which, again, they've had a lot of pressures, bringing the quarterback down's been a problem for that team. Yeah, they get there, but you force the quarterback out, and then all of a sudden you force Mahomes out, and then that chemistry comes in. Well, first of all, Travis Kelce, if you're going to blitz him, he's got 26 catches in 4 games. Against the Baltimore Ravens.
My goodness.
It's ridiculous what he averages against the Ravens. Mecole Hardman's been eating him 6 for 178 and a couple scores.
Yep.
Even making Marcus Peters look silly last year. He could be the odd man. But, again, you get Mahomes out of the pocket, all your coverage is done. Like, you've already shown your blitz. You've shown everything else. You get him out of the pocket. Plays, and you have an inexperienced secondary now.
Yes. And guys that haven't worked together for consecutive weeks, right? We're only in week 2. And unfortunately, I feel like it's Marlon Humphrey and just guys he's getting to know. Like, it's just.
Yeah, who are you again?
It's an unfortunate situation, but the Ravens have so many injuries that I would say, look, let the defense play back and hope the offense makes a mistake. Hope there's a penalty. Hope there's some fumble opportunity in the open field. One of the tricks of covering the Chiefs in 2019 was Mahomes wasn't turning the ball over. But if you're a defense, you're like, we got to steal possessions. So what some teams sort of figured out and at least tried to do is we are comfortable giving up the missed tackle while trying to punch the ball out because we know the chances of Mahomes throwing it to one of the guys in our jerseys are very, very low. So in Baltimore, I would say, yes, you want to pressure Mahomes, but play it safe. Hope the offense makes more mistakes. Because you're forcing them to go down the field in an incremental, methodical manner. And who knows? Maybe there's a tip ball at the line of scrimmage. Maybe Mahomes tries to throw it between a tight window because there's 8 defenders in the back end instead of the usual 5 or 6. And just pray. I mean, I know it sounds silly, Jay, but sometimes you just got to pray.
Listen, they out-raided the Raiders. Which is very tough to do. It is. In the grand scheme of things, it is almost impossible to out-raider the Raiders at the end of a game.
Yeah.
But they found a way to do it. They out-raidered the Raiders in that weird game, and Lamar Jackson, they're asking to do too much. Because now
yes.
he's got to
yeah.
– he's the only quarterback in the history of the game to run for 1,000 yards in 2 straight years. He's got to do everything. And he did fumble last week because he was trying to do everything.
Yes.
He fumbled that ball. Wink Martindale said this.
You know, let's face it. I mean, 10-87, so we have to stop. You know, and then the others, you know, you just got to hold on to. And if they make a play, then so be it.
So, I mean, he said the obvious, but he actually admitted it. He said the obvious. Obviously, Mecole Hardman had big games in the past. I just look at their mentality. All right. So, on the offense, you have Lamar Jackson trying to do so much. And then on defense, you have old Wink looking at Kelce and Hill. But I'll tell you exactly, if they take those guys out, someone like Hardman's going to stand. Maybe Clyde's the X-factor.
Yeah,
maybe he's the guy because they have had some success running against the Ravens. Now, the Ravens only have 3 sacks on Mahomes. That's it. 2018, they had 2. 2019, they had 1. They had none last year. So they're not getting to the quarterback. Maybe Clyde's the X factor in this game.
I'm leaning in that direction. Now, yes, we've had actual things on tape of Mecole Hardman running past defenders because of what Wink alluded to. We know who the Hall of Fame players are on the Chiefs' office that are not named Patrick Mahomes. So it's a fine strategy. But I want to see real consistency and improvement from the offensive line and from Clyde Edwards-Helaire making the first defender miss in the open field when you know the defense is maybe back on their heels because they don't want to give up the deep pass. It's similar to what Buffalo did a year ago where Buffalo was comfortable being like, hey, if you want to run the ball, we think that's a good thing because that quarterback is excellent. So
and they did.
And they did, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had his most productive game of the season. It was over 160 yards, I believe.
Which shows you they can beat you anyway.
So do you want to die slow or very quick, Jay?
Good
that's
one.
That's,
good
that's
one.
The question. Do we want to die slow?
Quick death or slow death? What do you want?
Or do we want to die knowing, hey, at least, you know, sometimes the coaching staff will tell a player, we know what we're good at. And sometimes if the matchups don't benefit what we're good at, at least you know we didn't make you try to do something that is uncomfortable for you that we know doesn't accentuate your talents. You know, it's just like anyone at their work job. I don't want my boss to ask me to do things that I'm not A, good at, B, comfortable with, or C, have not had enough time to get into a rhythm as to doing things that are, you know, somewhat uncomfortable for me. It's the same thing for coaches and players. Hey, if we blitz and the Chiefs get a 50-yard touchdown, we didn't ask you to do something you weren't good at. It's just sometimes their great is better than your good.
Yeah. We'll turn the page, look at the Chiefs' defense going against the Ravens. Spend a lot of time on the offense. Plus, two things that really stood out to me as far as the line and developing that third receiver. So we'll talk a little bit more offense, but mostly defense when I come back here with Nate Taylor.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT and Nate Taylor on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton producing. Nate Taylor in here for the hour. Before we went to break, I mentioned we'll tidy some things up on offense where we switch to defense. We've got a whole half hour here with you, Nate, on this. Two things stood out to me that I think kind of need to address. They were addressed with a lot of the questions this week with the Chiefs. And one of them was the third receiver. And again, you know, you heard Martindale talk about, we got to stop Hill and Kelsey. Do they need a third receiver? I mean, I had people bring this up to me on the post game. I said, yeah, if it's go-to and you're down 12 points, who are you throwing to? You're throwing to the guys you trust, Hill and Kelsey.
Yeah, and the plays that you know will work more times than not.
And they bring up 2019, first six games they had a leading receiver, different one every single week, including game two, 172 from DeMarcus, who had one catch for no yards the week before.
Right.
It happens. I'm not concerned about this. I know that they were asked. They've been asked. I think they were asked today about it.
Uh-huh.
Andy Reid was, and Bienemy was asked about it as well. Hey, are you concerned? No, it's game one, man. Again, this team's going to be situational.
Yeah, and I still think there's so much talent for them to really harness from Mecole Hardman that I'm just – maybe I'm, you know, more optimistic than – some fans, but I just think that there are going to be times where Mecole Hardman can have some really impressive games. He was only targeted three times against the Cleveland Browns, much for the reasons you mentioned, Jay. They can't cover Travis Kelce. So, like, if we know they can't do that and we know this play will work more times than not, and Mahomes has so much chemistry with Kelce, it makes sense. But, you know, maybe there will be times in this game where Andy Reid will sort of scheme plays up for Mecole Hardman because, as Wink mentioned, we got to take away Kelce. We don't want Hill to beat us deep. So I want to see a little bit from Mecole Hardman. I want to see some of the route progressions with Clyde Edwards-Helaire if you get the opportunity. And as you mentioned before, some of this dictates the situation of the game. Are you ahead? Can you dictate the pace and the tempo of the game? Or are you trying to come back quickly, which means let's go to our guys that we trust the most?
And at LSU, Clyde was in that five-man protection. Wasn't asked to block for Joe Burrow very much. He had 50 catches over 1,000 yards. No other SEC running back's ever done that.
Yes.
Like Clyde did, but he wasn't asked to block for Joe Burrow very often. The other one that comes up a lot, and again, this is going to be – it's this offensive line. The concrete's poured. These guys are going to be with Mahomes. Today's Mahomes' birthday. They're going to be with him contractually through his – till he turns 30.
30, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be with him. All right, five pressures on Orlando Brown last week. Lucas Niang, same thing. But again, you're talking about going against like Myles Garrett there. He's going to beat people. It's just what he is. He's one of the best. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to get his. Your thoughts on the offensive line, and specifically with Clyde in the running game, because I know people are bringing up, you know, the sync. We know about Patrick Mahomes and the sync with the line.
Yes.
What about Clyde and the running back sync with that line?
You know, sometimes, Jay, you can beat the blitz running. You know, if you run away from the blitz, if you block it up correctly, it could break. So there will be chances for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm also interested, too, in can we get Jarrett McKinnon on the field? Because I just saw a lot of things at training camp that led me to believe, hey, Jarrett McKinnon may be a nice little piece in this offense, nice little weapon. We know that Darrell Williams can be asked to block in third down situations in short yardage. He's more than capable. But I think for the offensive line, there's got to be a case to be made for them to play a little bit better, even though they're going to be in a different environment, which is a more loud, chaotic environment. If they can run the ball well on first down, even when the Ravens know it, or even when the Ravens are trying to persuade them into running the ball, if they can get 4 or 5 yards, that's a good play. And I think the Chiefs want to get to a place where we're always in third and shorts and anything's available to us in the playbook. And that wasn't the case against the Browns, mostly because Jadeveon Clowney is fine. Miles Garrett is excellent. But look, Justin Houston's going to be on the field for the Baltimore Ravens. He knows this offense. So they're going to have to, I think, be a little bit more aggressive in trying to get Clyde in rhythm a little bit quicker. But I understand why that wasn't the case, because they were down 8-0 immediately against the Browns. So for the offense and for the team as a whole, they went undefeated on the road last year. And a lot of times they got the early lead and they got to just operate their offense in full capabilities. How soon can they get to that, knowing that they're playing an injured team in Baltimore who will be desperate? But I think the running game should be improved for all the reasons we've mentioned.
Who's the biggest love story at training camp? I'm not talking about Jones and Tre Smith. I'm talking about the backup guy. You mentioned McKinnon, Fortson, Noah
Fortson.
Gray.
Jody Fortson.
Like who's the love story of training camp?
It's Jody Fortson.
Okay.
I mean, he was playing out of position, or not his natural position. He switched from wide receiver to tight end. He could have made the team last year had there been preseason games, but obviously the pandemic canceled that. So the coaching staff went with more veteran players. So he's been on the practice squad 2 years, and to make it and to have his debut on Sunday, you got to love training camp, because there's always going to be those one or two opportunities for a roster spot, for someone to really, you know, make a significant progression in their career. I mean, you want to see players have success, even the guys that you haven't seen before. And I think a good segment of the fan base really enjoys all the skills and talents available to Jody Fortson. Now you want to get him. You want to give him game experience, and hey, maybe he flourishes in the second half of the season. And look, he ran routes on Sunday.
I'm going to lose my bet with C-Dot. I had 15 catches, but this before training camp for Noah Gray. I said just 15. It's just 15.
Developmental year.
This, well, less than one a game. I'm gonna lose that one. I know, but he already owes me a burrito anyway, so we'll be even. He still hasn't paid me for Kurt Warner. Listen to this, Nate. Listen to this. Like doing the night show. Like, I'll get guests. Sometimes I have to pre-record them or whatever because it's on at night. I had an opportunity to get Kurt Warner.
Uh-huh.
And I had him on.
Hall of Famer.
I've had him on. So exactly. And I asked Rob, which Rob's a big part of this, and C-Dot. I said, would you guys like Kurt Warner come? This is during the playoffs last year.
Yes. Okay.
Here's my interview. You want to take it? And they said, sure. And I said, but, and I'm not like this usually, but I said, there's something for me here. I'd like a Chipotle burrito. And I said, due to the fact he's a Hall of Famer, I want double meat. Only fair. Hall of Fame gets you double meat.
Wow. Correct? Okay.
Okay. But in the C-Dot, it's like, what's your Cash App? I didn't have one. I still want to. I didn't have one. You know, because I want C-Dot to go to, or Rob, to go stand in line at Chipotle and get it. I don't want to just Venmoing me, because I'm not going to wait in that line.
You want the appreciation. Look, you went out and you did your effort.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Reciprocate that effort.
Yes.
By the way.
Double meat. That's a Hall of Famer.
Nothing better than being on somebody's show and the person not being there. And then you're just saying, hey, you know, let's just dig you just a little while you're gone.
Well, he's going to win this one, and we're going to be square on that. On the other side of the poll, Nate, the defense. Obviously, the Chiefs did not tackle well. It's been an emphasis of Spags to tackle. Only the Colts were worse tackling than I believe the Chiefs were last week. They were like second most missed tackles in the NFL. I think the Colts were ahead of them. I could be wrong on that team, but I think it's the Colts, Mr. Hard Knocks team. in the middle of the year. Yeah. Carson Wentz.
Will Carson Wentz be healthy for the premiere of in-season Hard Knocks? Ladies and gentlemen.
There's going to be a lot of Fisher stuff on there and some Quentin Nelson. You know.
Hey, Darius Leonard's good. I mean, hey.
And I like Chris Ballard a lot. Like, I like him. And
it's going to
be the most cap space next year. But again.
Who's the backup quarterback in Indianapolis? This may be your chance to win America's heart, because who knows if Carson Wentz will be healthy in November. Ugh. I mean, look. They're relying on Eric Fisher, who I love.
He's probably going to be active.
He's
this
probably
going to
be. They are.
He's not on the injury report.
Look,
they said he's probable or something.
They are rushing back a left tackle coming off an Achilles tear. So, good luck, Indianapolis.
Yeah. Before you see some Jacob Eason or some Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger has a nice story. Yeah. Nice young man. We all saw him at Texas.
Yeah,
this could be your moment on Hard Knocks. Lead those boys to a AFC South. How they win that division? It's kind of title.
I'll watch it. Oh, I haven't been enamored by the last couple Hard Knocks. I'll be honest with you. But I'll watch it. I always watch it. I like the storylines better, but I get it. Last year they were dealing with the pandemic with the Rams and Chargers. You don't have nearly the access. Although I did like that little drone they had for the Cowboys. That was really, really cool. But defensively. You know, they missed a lot of tech, except for Bolden. I will say Nick Bolden wraps you up because that's his M.O. That's what he does. He puts his hands on you, he brings you down. That's what he does. He starts at Sam for the Chiefs. Really a rough first half. Then the second half, Andy Reid talked about Chris Jones. Maybe having one of the best second halves he's seen a defensive lineman under him. He had two sacks, one on the left tackle, one on the right tackle. They're going to move him around like a chess piece. He's the honey badger of the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to move inside, outside. We saw in the preseason, inside sack, outside. He came. He was phenomenal that second half. But having the Badger back, kind of for some coordination that secondary, which I think is big because he's a mistake. If you make a mistake, he'll make you pay for it.
Yes,
he's one of those guys that. Oh, he's the landlord. He's gonna. If you make a mistake, he's gonna catch it. Are you worried about the Chiefs defense, or is that second half defense we saw more indicative to who they are?
You hope it's the second half. I think. Look, and this kind of brings in the coaching staff too, because the coaching staff I thought brought some pretty good adjustments. As you said, they moved Chris Jones around. Juan Thornhill was in better position for some of those intermediate and deep passes. But look, as we've said before in this hour, Jay, the Chiefs have no injuries. The only guy that won't be on the field that matters.
Get a knock on wood.
The only guy.
You have to.
The only guy.
If someone get hurt, they'll come back to you. But you
knocked. I knocked.
Are you with me? Knock on wood. It's Gruden.
Probably one of the. Last great.
I've gone wood if you're with
last me. Great seasons on Hard Knocks because Antonio, whoo, what a season. Anyway,
oh, the balloon or whatever.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes.
I got distracted.
It's so
that
good.
That was classic.
Willie Gay is the only person of prominence who will not be on the field, we believe, for Sunday's game on defense. So this is the full version. Most of the players have had a game to adjust to the speed, to what, you know, an opposing team may sort of attack. Tyrann Mathieu being back, Andy Reid said today that, yes, even though he's, you know, coming off of having COVID, he's had three practices, he's been a full participant in all of them. So from a conditioning standpoint, we should expect normally what we see from Tyrann Mathieu in the past 2 years on Sunday. There's no excuses. Look, Jay, I know Lamar Jackson is incredible, but there's no excuses for this defense to not perform better than what they showed.
Well, Dirty Dan missed more tackles than anybody. 5 missed tackles.
Yeah, that's a problem, you know, and especially with the Ravens throwing to the tight end as much as they do, given that usually is a responsibility for Sorensen. But I think Frank Clark, you hadn't played in the preseason. We all know your situation. You are one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid guy on the roster. The Ravens aren't. Ravens' offensive line is not in great condition. So he needs to play well. Chris Jones, I wouldn't be surprised if he had 2 sacks. I think Anthony Hitchens has a more important role than maybe the common fan realizes because he was doing a lot of the pre-snap alignment. And really, when I watched the All-22, Jay, he was telling Nick Bolton all first quarter, just a little to the left. You see where that gap is? Okay, come back to me this way. You know, so he's helping as much as he can. I'm encouraged with what Nick Bolton did in the second half. I'm fascinated to know what he will do in terms of changing direction. I feel like that was a slight weakness where the Browns would show him one look. oh, we're switching the field. Oh, he's got to turn his hips and go the other direction at the NFL speed. That was a little bit of an issue. But, man, when he does tackle you, you do go down. He made an open field tackle that probably Chiefs fans everywhere were like, a linebacker made an open field tackle. What? So they have no excuses.
I just love that, though.
Yes, of course.
It's not bounce off. He's going to get more. No, he brings you go him down.
That's
going to keep him playing, man.
It's textbook wrap-up tackles. So when he gets there, he does positive things based on his first, you know, his NFL debut. Unless Lamar Jackson does stuff that is just top-tier, physically excellent, and I mean extending plays and throwing. I mean running and breaking tackles. I mean, wow, how did he get out of that sack and make something out of nothing? Outside of that, the Chiefs should have the advantage on just about all the individual or positional matchups on defense. So there should be no excuses for the Chiefs to sort of put their dominance on display early and then be very businesslike, both on offense and defense, in execution, and, you know, putting away another AFC contender who's already sort of down because of injuries, and the defense should play a role. The defense shouldn't wait for Patrick Mahomes this week. Okay, first week of the season, I get it. Like, the Browns were well prepared. You were without some guys. Fine. You had a bad half, and you turned it around. There should be no bad halves against the Ravens. Even if they score, this should be a more complete performance on defense.
It's the best offensive line they're going to see all year. I've said that. The only team that boasts three, not Pro Bowlers, all pros.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jones made Conklin look silly, and that's an all pro from last year. Speaking of Willie Gay, he's injured. Nick Bolton. Speaking of Nick Bolton, this is what Willie Gay said before he got hurt about Nick Bolton. I want to get your thoughts on this.
Oh, he definitely started way faster than I did last year, man. You know, with the reps, and I feel like he's smart. You know, he's real smart, and you know, of course, he's athletic, but to be as on a level mentally as he is, you know, it's fun to watch.
So that's what Willie said about Nick before he got hurt, like before Willie got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of where I was last year, which makes sense because of the no OTAs, no mini camp. Some guys like Tristan Wirfs, the tackle for the Bucks, they got it early. They understood things. Clyde, I thought, processed things early on. Took Willie a while.
Yes.
But he said this about Nick Bolton and the sure tackling that I mentioned. Nick Bolton's probably going to be a name that we hear pretty much all year.
He's got to be a starter. Like, let's not, you know, Steve Spagnuolo always has this hesitancy to start starters unless he's physically forced to
but
do it.
But this is time to prove it to
but
him.
This, but, like, until, you know, I think the second half, as you mentioned, Jay, the sure tackling, you know, he was tied in lead tackles on Sunday against the Browns with 7. Yes, he will make rookie mistakes, and I think Spagnuolo understands that. But you got to start. I mean, the best version of this defense, honestly, is with Tyrann Mathieu all over the field, Juan Thornhill taking away the deep stuff. Obviously, you got Chris Jones and Frank Clark coming at opposite ends of a quarterback, and you should have three quality linebackers, is what I wrote in The Athletic, three quality linebackers in Anthony Hitchens, Willie Gay, and Nick Bolton to sort of sweep up everything in the middle of the field, to be sideline to sideline in a way that they've never been before in Steve Spagnuolo's system. So play the kid, Nick Bolton, as much as you can, because as Willie alluded to, if he's as smart and as advanced as Willie Gay is now, that improvement should continue throughout the season, which means you should have a linebacker as the season goes along, even though he's quote-unquote a rookie. He's proven it in the SEC. He very much proved it at times on Sunday. And so I think you're going to have 11 defenders who are both athletic, a little bit, you know, more on the intelligence side because everybody's been in the scheme for more than 3 years now. And so even Anthony Hitchens helping out Nick Bolton is different than even doing it last year with Willie Gay because, as you mentioned, offseason program, mandatory mini camp, training camp, and preseason games. I think Nick Bolton has a case to be made for one of the most impactful X-Factor guys who is not a quote-unquote star core player
just yet. Mack Lee, leader in the clubhouse. That's the Mack Lee Hill. It's the Chiefs Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Nate and I have been monitoring this. It's either Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Lucas Niang, Nick Bolton. Who's going to win it? We keep track of this stuff.
If he leads the team in tackles,
hey, listen, you look at the offensive line. Patrick McCurry looks like going to be the right tackle for him. Undrafted guy. and he's been a center for him. Going to be playing Villanueva.
From the right to the left.
It shows you the situation the Chiefs were in.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel Cosmi played great last night. 50 snaps, no quarterback pressure. But he was going to play left tackle. He's right tackle with Washington.
Yes.
Again, these left tackles were moved to the right side before they swung the trade for one Orlando Brown. But you're looking at that line. Here's the thing. Lamar Jackson is going to scramble a lot in this game.
Yes.
And he's going to be public enemy number one for the Chiefs in that running game. His player, we did player props earlier, over under 70.5 rushing yards, way over. Had 86 last week. With this offensive line giving up the Swiss cheese mentality, well, who knows about McCarthy? Maybe it's a great game, maybe he doesn't. But it's going to be tested.
Yes.
This line is going to be tested, which leads me to believe Lamar on the outside quite a bit. They're going to need to be sure tackling, because if I'm the Ravens, I'm looking, okay, Chiefs had the second most missed tackles last week. Let's get Lamar out there in space, and if things break down, let's let him run.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust our offensive line.
Yeah, or our running backs have to be a little bit more consistent than what they showed Monday night against the Raiders, where you had some good running plays and you had some running plays. And look, the deep ball was relied upon from Sammy Watkins. I mean, that's where the Ravens are right now in their offense. So if you can get something out of Lamar that is unscripted, that's great. But I would argue maybe outside of Daniel Sorensen. And look, Daniel Sorensen may be improved this week because, hey.
Oh, he has his games. Every year we look back and say it's a dirty end game. Like, he has games where he is the star.
And look, you know, everybody.
He'll make an interception in the game. That's what he does.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll play better, but when Lamar is on the perimeter, when he is in open space, there might be more short tacklers on this Chiefs defense than 2 years ago, where it really was a shootout in Arrowhead Stadium. And maybe unlike last year, where the Ravens sort of got blitzed early on, I wonder, will Lamar force the issue sooner rather than later, which could, you know, obviously lean into the Chiefs' hand in terms of, if you can't get anything in the pocket and we're also tackling you on the perimeter and you're not making these highlight plays, then the quarterback is eventually going to have to try something that may force the issue, that may lead to a turnover, and ultimately may give the Chiefs an even greater advantage.
Nate Taylor, give a follow on Twitter, @ByNateTaylor. Nate, I got to ask you, though. I mean, we talk a lot of X's and O's and whatever. Twitter. What's your favorite follow? You follow
my favorite
football writers?
Follow.
Like, who's your favorite follow? It could be football, could not be football.
Wow, that's a great question.
Who do you get notifications from? Because I get them from you.
Like, when you tweet, thank you.
It shows
thank
up
you,
like
sir.
A text.
Thank you. Yes,
it
does
very often.
It does show up like a text. I have everybody on the roster notified so I can be aware of what each guy is doing on the team. Man, my favorite follow.
Who's your favorite follow, man? Who's Nate Taylor like?
I mean, I love. Look, I'm gonna give one of my young guns a quick shout out here, and he's on Twitter right now. Tashawn Reed, who covers the Raiders for us at The Athletic, he does a great job both from a personality standpoint and keeping me aware of what the divisional rival is doing. Look, everybody knows that memes are kind of the game right now on Twitter.
You gotta have a good meme game.
I mean, you gotta have a good meme game. So I'm gonna get his name wrong. Where is he at? Because
like, what do you like to do, Nate? Like, what's your interest besides football?
Josiah Johnson, and okay. He's at KingJosiah54 on okay. Twitter. He runs all the memes. They are more NBA-specific. it leads me back to the
His
time.
His Laker ones are so good.
he leads me back to a time where I cared way too much about the NBA, because I used to cover it, ladies and gentlemen.
I know you did. I was there your first day with the Chiefs.
I used to be an NBA guy, and now I look at all 22 film and – you know, grind away like I'm some weird.
It's very enviable, by the way.
Yes, yes. I mean, can the league get the L22 fixed? I mean, come on now. People want to pay for analyzing.
What the hell do you
football.
Like to do, Nate? What do you like to do if you're not writing a story about injuries? Because there is none.
I know.
The Chiefs.
This is a blessing.
This team wins all the time. What do you do outside of this? What do you do to like? Unwind, man.
Well, his actual favorite follow is ATP tennis, just to keep an eye on what's going on.
You a tennis guy?
I love Simona Halep, who just got married. Congratulations to her. You know, Serena Williams is my favorite tennis player. I do play tennis at the Overland Park Racquet Club. Shout out to them.
You're a tennis player, huh?
I am a tennis player.
Pickleball too, or just tennis?
Yes, me and my wife Holly have played pickleball quite a bit. You know, it really boomed during the pandemic because, hey, it's great to be outside. It's great to be active. I watch a decent bit of TV. You know, I'm obviously fond of Ted Lasso. You know, although I haven't seen the new episode. Nobody say anything yet. I know it's Friday. I'm still at work. Don't say anything. But I'm very interested in that. You know, me and Holly love documentaries. It's just it's just one of those things where you tell me what happened when? It's on Netflix? Oh, we'll be there. So, I mean, you know, I'm chasing my 6-year-old son Hayden around. It's a true joy. But he loves baseball, and so I'm teaching him baseball just as much as, you know. He doesn't think the Chiefs are going to lose.
Is Hayden, you making him a lefty? You tighten that right hand, but this is where the money is, man.
My son is ambidextrous.
Oh, so, a little Creed Humphrey.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's funny because I've seen him hold a pencil in both hands.
Hey,
and it's just like.
Sign of intelligence.
Okay, how about that? Like, I'm not telling him how to hold the tennis racket, but it's like, if you want to try that, by all means, go try that. So yeah, there's a, you know, I'm just a very loving family man who watches way too much tennis, who watches a lot of movies, a lot of documentaries, and when the NBA is right, ladies there's nothing better than watching NBA basketball. And I wish Kansas City had a team.
That's where you cut your teeth.
I agree with Mayor Lucas, who's trying to do quite a bit in that manner. But look, I watch
Patrick's
a lot of.
Patrick's going
to
do it, man.
Hey.
You know he is.
If he does it.
You know he is. It's like, if you think about things he can accomplish still, that's one of them.
It is. I mean, look, I haven't told Patrick specifically, hey, man, like, what about that NBA team? But I know he's thought about it. I know he really wanted the Raptors. We talked about that quite a bit. But yeah, I love the city. I love barbecue. I haven't had it in a few days. So like my physical body is telling me that like I need to have Gates or Joe's or something here in the near future. You know, I had Slaps a little bit ago.
Stuff.
Slaps kind of slap. I mean, hey, like, you know, the sausage at Slaps.
Well, you're a Division II guy like me. All right, where are the city fountains? Real quick before you go, what's your favorite fountain? No one ever asked that question. Nobody does more the city of fountains. Like, you go to those things, what's your favorite barbecue place? That's what the media like.
Yes,
what's your favorite damn fountain?
It's the one on the plaza. I can't remember what the name of it is, but, you know.
I like that one in the Northland because it freezes, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I like frozen water.
I'll be, you know, very conventional, and I'll just say the one on the plaza as you come in. That was always one where we took pictures of
Nate's
family.
Favorite fountain.
That's where we took the girls on a nice Saturday night, you know. Where did I take prom pictures?
Fountain.
Some of them fountains was in them.
I did the same
in
thing.
The pictures. So,
the
hey, you thing. Know, but like, but don't you love your city? Don't you love your hometown? Yeah. If you can't love your hometown, then it kind of says something more about you than where you're from.
Everybody says barbecue. I want to know what your favorite fountain is. After all, we are the city of fountains. That's Nate Taylor. Follow him on Twitter, @ByNateTaylor. What are you working on again?
Something about Patrick Mahomes, but it'll come out soon.
All right.
But you know,
you will
learn.
Write something about Mahomes, okay?
You will learn quite a bit.
All right, I'm excited about it.
Thank you.
I'm excited to learn something new. That's Nate Taylor right there. Don't forget the Nate Taylor Show we do on Monday nights. Not this Monday because the doubleheader with the Royals, but then from there on out, the Nate Taylor Show with Monday nights, 7:00. Hope you can join. Come up next though. It's Friday. It's Red Friday. We'll play the hits.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.